For our next speaker, we have Tony. We have Tony Apted from Leaders. He is a technical director and has over 25 years of information assurance experience. He will be delivering the topic of satisfying common criteria cryptographic requirements through CAVP and CMAP certification. Please welcome Tony.
Thank you for that introduction. So the background for this is, or the topic of this talk is very much to do with common criteria evaluations in the United States. I'll talk a bit about the background, driving the idea for this talk, and then we'll look at the NIAP policy relating to cryptographic requirements, NIAP's CAVP mapping guideline. We'll look at specific crypto requirements from common criteria, how they're satisfied. Talk about some considerations for vendors of products being evaluated against common criteria, and some conclusions arising from the talking points. So, common criteria evaluations in the United States are conducted against NIAP approved protection profiles. These specify assurance activities that are performed by the evaluation team. We've moved away from the old common criteria evaluation assurance levels and now taking an approach of tailored assurance, where individual functional requirements and assurance requirements have detailed, defined assurance activities performed by the evaluation team. And they're specified in the protection profile. The assurance activities define required content for the security target document, for the guidance documentation that comes with a product, and required testing activities that are performed by the evaluation team. Successful completion of the assurance activities establishes adequate evidence that the product satisfies the requirements specified in the protection profile. And it does occur to me, I should have mentioned at the start, there isn't a basic assumption here that people in this room are familiar with what common criteria is, reasonably familiar with common criteria, reasonably familiar with the concept of a protection profile. Many of these NIAP approved protection profiles include requirements for cryptographic functionality. There can be requirements for the basic cryptographic functions, such as symmetric and asymmetric encryption and decryption and hashing. Requirements for key management capabilities, such as key generation, key destruction, and key establishment. And then a higher level, requirements for approved secure protocols such as IPsec, TLS, and SSH. And depending on the protocols that are implemented by the product being evaluated, will determine the selections made for cryptographic primitives such as encryption and digital signature and key management and key establishment. As with non-cryptographic functional requirements, these cryptographic requirements have associated assurance activities, including testing. Depending on the protection profile, the way the test activities for the cryptographic requirements are spelled out, they may draw from NIST validation testing specifications and basically reproduce from the applicable validation suite the detailed test that would be performed to validate an AES implementation, or they may just say, perform the tests specified in the validation suite. The protection profiles themselves do not mention anything about CAVP or CMVP certifications. They're written to be usable in non-US or Canadian schemes where cryptographic policy doesn't necessarily recognise the use of or the validity of CAVP CMVP certifications. NIAP policy on evaluating cryptographic requirements is promulgated in Scheme Policy Letter Number 5. So regardless of how the test activities for the crypto requirements are specified in the protection profile, all cryptography in the target of evaluation of the product, the TOE, for which NIST provides validation testing must actually be NIST validated for evaluations conducted within the US. This is demonstrated through identification in the security target document of the CAVP certification for the claimed cryptographic functions, or identification of a CMVP certification of the crypto module included in the TOE. The rationale there being that the CMVP certification incorporates all the necessary CAVP certifications anyway. So the ST must actually provide an indication of all the requirements for which a CAVP certificate is claimed and include the cryptographic operation, the applicable NIST standard, and the CAVP certificate number. All that information will be expected to be provided in most likely the TOE summary specification section of the ST, possibly up in the TOE description near the front. As an adjunct or an addendum to Scheme Policy Letter Number 5, NIAP in November published this CAVP mapping guide. It lists applicable CAVP validation, the applicable CAVP validation list with modes, states, key sizes that are required to meet specific cryptographic requirements. And so the mapping guideline includes the cryptographic requirements that are used throughout NIAP approved protection profiles, and specifies for those what is required in a CAVP certification in order to satisfy that cryptographic requirement. As an example, you might have the CC Part 2 terminology, FCS COP.1 cryptographic operation .1. This is an example from the Network Device Collaborative Protection Profile. TSF shall perform encryption decryption in accordance with the specified cryptographic algorithm AES, using CVC mode, and cryptographic key sizes 128 bits, 256 bits, meet the following standard. And because it's a collaborative protection profile developed by international technical community, it references ISO standards rather than the FIPS pub standard for AES. And so if your security target includes this functional requirement, then you would also have to provide a CAVP certification that included on the AES validation list the information CVC, encryption, decryption, 128.256. And that's how the assurance activity or the testing activity for that requirement will be satisfied. So, as I mentioned earlier, there are various levels of cryptographic requirements. The manner in which they're satisfied through the CAVP certifications. Symmetric encryption and decryption is always AES validation with appropriate modes and key sizes, and those will be determined by the requirements of the particular protection profile. Digital signature services, generation and verification of signatures, could be RSA, DSA or ECDSA validation lists, again with appropriate key or modular sizes or NIST curves. For cryptographic hashing, you require the SHS validation list with the appropriate SHA algorithm. The keyed hash message authentication needs to be on the HMAC validation list with the appropriate hash algorithms. And deterministic random bit generation needs to be on the DRBG validation list with the appropriate algorithm, and also supporting validations. For example, if you're using counter DRBG as the DRBG algorithm and generating 128 or 256 bit keys, you would have to have a CAVP certification on the counter DRBG, on the DRBG validation list that specifies counter DRBG, and also has CAVP validations for the AES algorithm supporting the DRBG. For asymmetric key generation, again, the CAVP listing needs to have RSA, DSA, and or ECDSA validation with FIPS 186-4 key generation, and for the appropriate key, module sizes or NIST curves. Key establishment requirements depends on the scheme and the base specification, whether it's SP800 56A or 56B, and it may also require a KAS or one or more CVL validations as well. So that's sort of the nuts and bolts of the NIPE policy, the mapping guideline that they've provided. Some of the considerations for vendors, based on some of the issues we've seen vendors dealing with in evaluations with our lab. CAVP certifications identify a specific operational environment, and depending on whether the implementation is hardware, firmware, or software, the environment description varies. So for a hardware implementation, it's just the actual part number of the module that was tested. For firmware, you get the processor, and then for software, you have a processor and operating system combination. NIPE requirements, and these are drawn from another addendum to Policy Letter 5. This is the frequently asked questions attachment. So for firmware and hardware cryptographic implementations, the operational environment has to correspond exactly to the hardware platform specified in your security target. So if you were to be using a processor that had a cryptographic module embedded in it, but that particular processor wasn't on the CAVP list for your required algorithms, you're not going to be able to claim that without getting it CAVP tested as appropriate. For software cryptographic implementations, minor software version variations in the operational environment that don't affect interfaces used by the TOW are considered equivalent. So as an example, depending on your product implementation, it may well be that certification on Linux 3.13 for the algorithm and you're running on Linux 3.16, you would be able to claim equivalence because your product software isn't using interfaces in 3.16 that when in the 3.13 distribution. So that's operating system variations. Processors in the operational environment that are implemented by the same manufacturer in the same family as the hardware listed in the security target are also considered equivalent. So if your security target specifies an operational environment for your Common Criteria product of an Intel i7, and your crypto module was CAVP certified on an Intel i5, that would be considered equivalent and that would be okay. We see vendors run into issues when they are using third-party cryptographic modules. For instance, OpenSSL does not yet support FIPS 186-4 key generation for RSA. And the current version of the, well, version 1 of the Network Device Collaborative Protection Profile has TLS RSA CBC 128 bits as a mandatory cipher suite. So if you're using OpenSSL for your TLS support in your product, you're going to have work to do, because there isn't a 186-4 validation you can claim of OpenSSL itself, the FIPS object module. So vendors incorporating OpenSSL may need to patch the OpenSSL module. For instance, Red Hat has issued such a patch. They may decide to develop their own implementation. In either case, the vendor will need to then obtain their own CAVP certification for the RSA key generation aspect of the requirement. Also, OpenSSL has been validated on a wide range of platforms, but not every conceivable operational environment. Vendors incorporating an unsupported OE in their product would need to obtain their own CAVP validations for all their claimed algorithms as well. Some conclusions, or I guess recommendations to vendors considering certifying a product against a protection profile that involves cryptographic requirements. Understand the requirements in the PP. Understand what the algorithms, what the modes, what the key sizes are. And then that'll help you determine if the crypto module you plan using has all the CAVP certifications you need and matches the operational environment that you're running your product on. Plan for circumstances in which you may need to obtain your own CAVP certifications. If you're using the OpenSSL FIPS object module and you use TLS, that may be a red flag early on. And I would recommend you do all of this before you start your common criteria evaluation. Were there any questions?
So you had mentioned about the hardware equivalency.
Yep.
For instance, like with i5, i7, I thought that was the big change, where now this is going to require generations of chipset testing rather than just thing.
Okay, so I'm not that familiar with current NIST policy. I'm referring to, so what I said there about the hardware is in NIAP's frequently asked questions for their policy. I would assume if...
Well, that gets tied back to the comment about that it has to match the same environment as the test.
Right, so what's the upshot of the NIST?
Well, so again, their shift is to require any platforms that you cover can't just do like testing of a single i7. You have to cover all generations of i7 that your product would run on. Is this business change?
Oh, okay.
And so the problem becomes if you do or don't cover something, and you make reference to that in a network particular device that uses a particular generation of, say, i7, you cover criteria.
Right, so...
So that's problems
with vendors. What I'm thinking is, at the moment, under current policy, I think you'd still make a claim for equivalence based on the NIAP policy, regardless of the NIST testing requirements. Even so, if I understand what you've been saying, NIST would expect, all right, i7 is going to be these generations of i7 processors. The NIAP policy would say, well, even if your i7 isn't in that tested set, it's still an i7, so that would be okay from the NIAP perspective.
Well, NIAP has to actually call out which systems.
Sorry?
NIAP is calling out which systems as well. You can't just generically say i7.
You typically identify the... I've seen different security targets claim different levels of granularity of the processes that the product runs on.
Okay. The challenge comes in with what's on the certificate. It's what it's about. The names are on the certificate. And then when you're doing the concrete too, there have been some issues with that with vendors.
I fully agree that there have been. I'm not saying I haven't had those myself. Anyone else? Nope.
All right, thank you very much, Tony. And we are off to next networking break.